السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم، أما بعد، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. A common ailment which is found nowadays in most, if not all, homes is that the woman of the house, be it the mother or the wife, is taken for granted. The washing, cooking, ironing, cleaning, and all other domestic chores carried out by the woman folk is deemed as being her obligatory and necessary duties. It is taken for granted that all these chores are the responsibility of the mother or the wife. None of her effort is appreciated due to this type of mentality. This is kufran ni'mat, being ungrateful of a bounty, of a favor. Right? We are not advocating and we are not saying that a lady of the house must not do these things. We're not saying that she mustn't do these things. What we are saying is that when she does these things, a man or the other members of the family should appreciate it as a favor. It's not her job. For example, you come home, say you go home now on Thursday night, you expect that there must be supper prepared. Goes without saying, you expect the supper to be prepared, right? You expect your clothing to be ready. Friday night you're going home. You expect that on Sunday all your clothing that you're going to require to come back to madrasa must be packed and ready. Whatever little grocery items you require, your tea, sugar, coffee, whatever, you expect it to be ready and it must be there. Whatever spending money you require, you expect it must be ready, it must be available, it must be there. Right. Whereas all these things are extras. You are baligh, right? You are mature. If you went home on Friday night and food is prepared, do you take it as a, what a great khidmat my mother made for me, that she cooked food for me? We don't regard it like that, right? We may not even thank her for cooking that meal for us. But let us go home this Friday and there's no food at home. Right? There's no food prepared. Now, what's for supper? What's for supper? So, no, I didn't make supper. Oh. You never cook. You never cook. Why? Because it's taken for granted that, hey, she is the cook. She's supposed to cook. How come she never cook? What's wrong? So this is what is being explained. That this mentality needs to change. We cannot take it for granted that it's her job. Whether it's our mothers and tomorrow it will be your wife. It's not her job. Every day that she cooks, we must appreciate the fact that she is cooking for us. If she has our clothes ready, whatever, we must appreciate the fact that she is doing it. Because it's not her job to do it. It's her ihsan, it's her favor. Same with our mothers also. It's their favor upon us. It's not their job, not their duty. Remember, this is the very woman through whose efforts all the household chores are being attended to. She keeps the family lineage going. How sad and tragic is it that she cannot be given some credit and praise for all the work that she does. It is a grave act of ingratitude when instead of appreciating her efforts, complaints are made. If you have to go home Friday night, you expect some specials. I was studying whole week. The bribe you had in between, how many times you went to the shop and bought cold drink and all that. Your parents never have quarter of that. They never have quarter of that. But when you go home Friday, Seth Saab is here, bhai, we expect now there must be some top meal prepared here. Now if you went home Friday night and a simple meal was prepared, now instead of appreciating, because it was not even the parents' duty to even cook for you, anything. You are body, you're supposed to take care of yourself. Right? It's not even her duty to cook anything for you at all. Not even make a cup of tea for you. Right? But now maybe just a simple meal was made and something that is not your preference. Oh, I'll cook this. I'll cook this today. But mommy, you know I don't eat this. Why do we react like that? Because we regard it as, this is owed to me. This is owed to me. You're supposed to lay it out for me. Don't you know who I am? The husband expects the wife to lay it out. And you know what's even more sad? I get sometimes even elderly ladies, they send emails, say, Mana, he doesn't even want to give money. He doesn't even want to give money. You ask him for something, for grocery in the house, whatever, he makes a big noise. He doesn't even want to give money, but he expects there must be a top meal. For every meal, there must be a top meal prepared. Because the person never grew up. He's still in the childhood mentality. He didn't have to pay. He just took all his money, he used it in the games. He took all his money, he bought cigarettes. He took all his money, he bought chocolate. And he carried on. But when he came home, his mother had a meal prepared for him. Now he thinks it's like auto mode. When you come home, there must be a meal prepared. Now he got married. And he comes home and he expects a meal to be prepared. He didn't know somebody was paying for it. Father was paying the bills. Father was bringing the grocery and coming in the house. That part he didn't know about because he didn't want to spend no time with his father. Father say, come help me, we go do shopping. No, no, I'm going to play soccer. I got no time to go shopping. But the food he wants. So when he gets married also, he goes into the marriage with the same mentality. He didn't grow up. Goes with the same mentality. The food must just come. How it was coming in my mother's house. Here too, it must just come. I wasn't paying for groceries there. Why must I pay for groceries here? Gee, what if you feel odd or are given a cold shoulder by someone, an officer or a clerk in an office, then you would make sure you avoid that company or that branch so as not to have contact with the sullen person. Now what about your poor life partner or your poor mother, your beloved mother? Can they ignore and avoid you and your sour and stern attitude? You come home, you complaining. Now, can your mother avoid you? Can the wife avoid you? Certainly not. They have to just put up with your attitude for the rest of their lives. Who is there to prevent your poor wife from feeling helpless and hopeless because of your attitude towards her? Filthy attitude. If she cooked a nice curry also, presents it, but she never had time to make roti. Maybe the baby was troubling or whatever. She never had time to make roti. Now she got the time, at least she made a nice curry, she presented it, but she puts shop bread on the table. Where's roti? I don't eat curry with the shop bread. Where's the roti? You lazy man. What you sit and do here in the house? You're sitting on that WhatsApp of yours all morning. You don't have time to make roti. I'm working all day. Come. So many things I did, you couldn't just make roti. Just one thing you couldn't do. All the things she did, no concern and bother about that. The one thing she never do, the whole issue is centered around the one thing that she never do. She tires herself out so much, right? The wife spends all her energies, her efforts, everything at the housework. She tires herself out so much that it even at times leads to deterioration of her health. Her health also takes a knock. Running behind the children, shouting that one, doing this, worrying about the maid, garden boy. So many things she has to worry about. Sometimes, you know, it's cold, right? Now you're experiencing some cold days. We're experiencing winter cold. This was like the most severest part of the winter thus far. Allah Pak, don't make it any more severe. But the last couple of days was like the coldest days of winter that we experienced for this year. Right? But in these cold days, we still expect cooking to be done. Right? If you wake up in the morning and it's cold, say, I'm not having a bath today. I'm going to have a bath. It's too cold. I'm not going to bath today. Maybe a little later in the day when the sun comes out, I'll go have a shower or something. I'm not going to bath. It's too cold. I'm going to go bath now. Right? You got a choice. Okay? But lunchtime, you want your food. Right? Your mother or your wife, she still has to go and open the freezer. It's ice cold, but she must still go open the freezer, take out that chicken or that mutton or whatever it is, handle that ice, then wash it in water. Again, she has to work with water. Who wants to work with water on a cold day? Now, later on in her life, Allah Ta'ala protect, but she gets arthritis. And now she phones you and says that, Muhammad, our appointment, hospital appointment today, I need to fetch my medication. So now in one is, even if you got the time to go and take her. So many sons today, they don't even have the time to go and take their mothers. Right? But if you make the time to go and take her, now when you go home, when you go to pick her up, she's not ready. Now you're getting upset. Now you're getting upset. Mommy, come on now, I'm getting late now. I told you be ready at this time now, come on. But you're not realizing that she has developed arthritis. It takes her long to move. Her bones are paining. Fingers are paining. Fingers are bent. It's taking her long to put her clothing on. In the morning, it takes her long to even get off the bed. And now, how she got all of this? Because she was busy potty training you. In winter. All the time, carrying you, taking you to toilet. Or before that, changing your nappies, wiping you. Then she has to wash her hands. You don't have to wash your hands. Then she was taking you to the toilet, making istinja for you. You don't have to handle the water. She was handling the water. Bathing you, washing your clothing, cleaning the house. Then she goes to the kitchen again, work with the water. And now so many years of working with water, water, water. Now she ended up with arthritis, so that you could grow up into a nice, healthy man. And now today, when she is a little bit slow, now you're shouting at her that I'm getting late for work. So we have to think. We have to think, appreciate. Never ever be disrespectful, raise our voice, etc., towards our parents. And even our wives, whatever they do, is their ihsan, their favor. Sometimes the husband gets upset, the children are not ready. So we're leaving certain time. Now he comes, baby is not ready, child is still getting dressed. Or the wife, now she'll dress everybody up, do everything else, pack his bag also, pack the children's bag also, everything. Now last she goes to get ready. How long are you taking? I told you to be ready this time. Now he's shouting. But what did you do? Only thing you did, you put petrol in the car and came. You only put petrol in the car and came. She had to get the house clean, make sure the maid is out, pack the patkos, sort all the children out, pack all the bags. So many things she had to do. Now she's gone to get ready. Now it seems like she's delaying the whole family. And now he's screaming through the roof and shouting and whatever. A person who was explaining his condition mentioned that it was his ill fate that his disposition and temperament and that of his wife were far apart. They both tabiats were poles apart. He said that his wife does not have any apparent fault. It was just that they were poles apart. Owing to this conflict in natures, I mean both of them had different tabiat, right? They were drifting apart day by day. You know, you hear people talking, man. There's not no problem with it. They said, we don't have anything in common. We don't have anything in common. We can't have a conversation together. You know when all this comes in? When that fellow saw on pretty face day in the office. When he saw on pretty face in the office, when he saw on pretty face in the bank, then all these, we don't have anything in common. Then all these stories start. Prior to that, there's no problem. Prior to that, there's no problem. You see, if you got one old Skoro car, right? But there's no possibility for you to buy another car. You got only that one car. There's no possibility of you having another car. So then you'll appreciate that car and you'll carry on. Where you need to fix, you'll fix. Where you need to tighten some nuts, you'll do that. Whatever. You don't have aircon also, fine. I'll open the window and carry on if it's a hot day. You don't have heater and that thing got holes at the bottom. It got natural cooling system. But never mind, I'll just wear double socks and I'll carry on. Why? Because there's no other option. And that will be your Ferrari for you, man. You look after it, you will still wash it. How that fellow is washing his Ferrari, you will wash your Skoro too. You will put polish on your tire too. Because this is your car. You can't have another one. But you see, if you got the money to buy another one, scrap here now. How are you going to drive a car like this? Everywhere getting stuck. Get rid of that one. Let me buy another one. Why? There is an option. When there's an option, now this one's ratings drop right down. Because there's an option. If there's no option, then you'll value and appreciate this. So a man, when he meets with another woman, then the ratings of his wife, or then all of a sudden, a lot of problems come about. No, she don't do this, and she don't do that, and she... But when there's no other option, then that's his queen. No problem. Now he'll appreciate her. Carry on. That's why Deen teaches us, don't go close to zina. Lower your gaze, protect your mind, protect your heart. Don't mix with namaharam, woman. So if you take all these precautions, your wife will be your queen. You will live a life of happiness and content. But when a man wants to look around everywhere, talk everywhere, now he looks at his wife, hey, but she don't have like that, auntie. She don't wear shoes like that one. She don't make her hair like this one. So now he won't be content at all. And if he starts chatting with somebody, and there's a possibility of a relationship starting there, then all of a sudden this woman now, her ratings is dropped. Because now there's an option, you see. There's an option here now.
So this person was complaining. He's saying we poles apart. So owing to this conflict in natures, they were drifting apart day by day. It was like a wall between them which was getting more and more solid. He said that this was having an adverse effect on his work and making his life very constrained. He felt that his future was bleak and he held no hope of himself. This, he said, was adversely affecting his worldly and his ukhrawi life. His worldly life too is being affected, his life of the akhirat too is being affected. Big problem. He requested du'as for peace of mind and contentment of heart, and that his situation must be resolved. He complained that he is stuck in this situation for the past 3 years, and he even yearns for death to escape or to be isolated in some far off place. Let us need to be out of this relationship here now. So much dukkh, so much musibat I am experiencing here. I need to be out of this. So listen to the reply. Your letter has reached me. You are a person with courage. So why do we note so much of impatience in your tone? Why so much besabri? You should exercise some patience, because situations such as these are tests and they require mujahada. Bear your situation for a while and soon you will inshallah find a plan to overcome your grief and your sorrows. Now this is a situation where in reality they are poles apart. What I was explaining to you just now is where 9 out of 10 times there is no poles apart story. The fellow had 3-4 children with this woman. Now all of a sudden, now he realized the poles apart. So where all these children came from then? He lived with her a couple years. He had a couple children with her. He's eating the food she prepares. Everything he was doing with her, they were fine. Now all of a sudden, after 7-8 years, say, oh Mona, I have fallen out of love now. See, I have fallen out of love. Say, what out of love? Say, oh, we don't have anything in common, man. No, we can't have a communication, decent conversation, and you know, we just don't have anything in common. I say, Baba, so where did all these children came from? Where they came from? You saying you poles apart, you so far, you nothing in common. So all these children, where they came from? All these days you eating, you staying with everything, where all that day came from? Now all of a sudden you decided that you got nothing in common and you poles apart. No poles apart, bhai. He saw somebody else. He's involved in some guna. 9 out of 10 times. 9 out of 10 times that is the situation. It is a rare case where it happens like this. To increase love for the wife is a sign of taqwa. There's a question. Can you please advise me regarding a natural occurrence in my life where over the years I have become more fond of my wife? And this is how it's supposed to be. That as you see people who are just after lust. So initially when they get married, they're very happy with their wife. After that, now they're just after lust now. So they're looking for somebody else now. Their love for their wife decreases. But a person who loves his wife for the pleasure of Allah, and he adopts taqwa, so as he ages, his taqwa increases. As his taqwa increases, he loves his wife more. As his relationship with his Allah becomes better, his relationship with his wife also becomes better. Because he loves her for the pleasure of Allah. What's burning? Gee. So he is asking, is this in any way harmful to me that I love my wife and I'm loving her more and more? Answer. This in reality is sunnah. This is why I say sometimes the Sufi sahabs, they get it all upside down. They think, no, no Sufi sahab, no, Muslim have nothing to do with the wife, and nothing to do with this one, nothing to do with that one. They goofy sahabs, man, not Sufi sahabs. Sufi sahab, they love their wife. Why? Because Sufi sahab, he don't commit zina. So he only got his wife. So he loves her a lot. So this in reality is sunnat. This is the fruit of taqwa. When taqwa increases in a person, then his love for his wife also will increase. The more taqwa he has, the more love for his wife he will have. Allah ta'ala give us tawfiq. Subhanallah wa bihamdihi. Subhanallah wa bihamdik. نشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت نستغفرك ونتوب إليك والسلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.